Today's minhag is raising one's voice during davening on okay, tashlich. We pretty much finished. The only thing I left out about tashlich was fish. Is there a minhag? Where do we go to say tashlich? So we discussed yesterday the ikar source for reciting tashlich is the medrash. Avraham Avinu, when he went to the Akedah, he encountered a river and he almost drowned and he was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and miraculously his life was spared. That's the ikar mekar for meaning. Now, Avraham went to a nahar, to a river. In a river there are fish. So lechatchila, when you go to tashlich, you should go to a body of water, a river. Everything comes from the meaning of from Avraham Avinu and the Akedah. Lechatchila, you should go to a river which has fish, a real river, a real body of water which has fish, like Avraham Avinu, where he found himself at the time of Sakana on his way to the Akedah. However, being that it's only a minhag, and that's not the only reason for the minhag, and it's not always convenient, depending on where we live, to go to a river, so it's become the minhag to go to a pool, to a pond, to turn on the faucet. Even after the kach, there were places where there was a pit, an empty pit, dry pit. But since during the spring, and that pit is where the water collected, it's also called a place where you can go for tashlich. But al-chatchila person, of course, if he can, should go to a body of water where there are fish. Now, why fish? So someone learned that it's a very important element, very important ingredient in tashlich, because v'yidgu l'roiv b'kerev aretz. We want to be zecha to the bracha to multiply l'roiv in abundance on the yamim l'rohim, and therefore that's the inyan of fish. Fish are not, there's no ayin hara. Fish, Chazal tell us that 99% of people die because of ayin hara. It's a wonder, this Gemara. Why ayin hara? What ayin hara? But and therefore fish, there's no since the Yom Ram, it's all about chayim lechayim lelamavis, and the Gemara tells us that most people die due to ayin hara. But mainly we want to go to a place where there's no ayin hara in order that it should rub off on us. Others say that fish have an amila that they don't have eyelids, they don't blink. Is that true? All fish don't blink? There are no fish that blink. So it seems that there is definitely truth to this. Fish do not blink. And they don't sleep. Is that true? Do they sleep? Do fish sleep?
No.
They don't sleep? Unbelievable. So fish don't sleep and they don't blink. We want, therefore represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem's eyes are always open, not even for a slightest second does Hashem blink. Mainly we come to the river where there are fish as a simone milsa. We want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be to us like His creation, fish. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon. Don't blink. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu blinks for 1 second, Chas Shalom, who knows what can happen to us. So there is definitely the sinyan of going to a place where there are live fish. There's a lot of Torah on why we eat fish Friday night. We once discussed this. Yeah. What are minhagim? Why we eat fish Friday night? We discussed in Chumash. I think we also discussed in, I don't remember the details. But all of the reasons why a person who eats fish Friday night somehow connect to why it's a very good thing to have fish at the place where you go for a tashlich. And one of the simple example explanations, because fish are the only real connection back to Yitziras, the creation of the world. Because after Noah, the time of the Mabul, Hashem destroyed the world, all the animals ceased to exist, and everything that came to the world was from the Teva, and the Teva was taken away from the world. But the fish were not included in the Mabul. That means every fish today is an anical of the fish that were present at the time of Ma'aseh Yetzirah Olam. What is Rosh Hashanah? Hayom Haras Olam. It is the creation of the world. The sixth day is the creation of the world. Therefore, since it is the creation of the world, we go to a place of fish. This is the only thing that we have in this world today that is a direct link all the way back to Ma'aseh Yitze Bereshis. Fish, like Pascha Zuhamasan, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away from us the Zuham, or the filth of Chet, all of the Inyan that relate to eating fish Friday night. You can definitely tie into the Inyan that there should be fish when you come to Tashlich. Son of a Minig, I'm not familiar with this. There's another Minig that people do not eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. Are you familiar with this? There is such a Chassidish Minog, Bedafka, not to eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, you only see the fish. You have the head of the fish on the table, you see it. Therefore, since you're not going to eat fish, you have to make it up by going to Tashlich and identifying and somehow connecting yourself with fish. Now, because there is such an important thing of going, there is an Indian of eating fish of fish on in the river Tashlich, became a new minhag to feed the fish. And that became a very, very big problem. Is it a good thing to feed the fish, not to feed the fish?
No,
so l'chora, no. First of all, you're not responsible. Halacha is you're not smuksa. You're not allowed to feed, you're not allowed to feed creatures that you are not responsible there, whose mezonosav is not upon you. You have no responsibility. So it's not the proper thing. Others say there are some l'choros that know when you feed the fish, so they're taking away your sins. I'm not really familiar with this. One of the very important things I forgot to tell you, that's a really good remark, is that when you come to Tashlich, the minhag is to empty out your pockets. Symbolic. You're supposed to empty out your pockets, because when you're doing your simani milsa, it all ties back to this concept that you do things on Rosh Hashanah which are simani, like simani milsa. Empty out your pockets and throw out whatever's in your pocket into the water. Symbolically, you're throwing away your sins.
But that's why they take the bread, but not necessarily to feed the fish.
So you now others say that you should empty out not necessarily your pockets, your talis skotum, and you should even shake your tzitzis. And they start comparing the inyan of looking at tzitzis by kiddush levana. Yeah, two, checking your tzitzis and emptying out, shaking out your taliskoton by tashlich. Now, if you follow this custom, that opens up an entirely new understanding of law of tashlich. And I've got to mention this, is that tashlich, it says in Chazal they would anoint kings. When a king was anointed, he was anointed al hamayim, and it was a marshal, just like the water flows, a river, the water continuously flows without any end, so too it should be a sign that the malchus of this new king should flow continuously without any impediment. It should be a sign of bracha. So it was customary in ancient times, when a new king was anointed, he would be anointed at a river as a good sign. His malchus should flow, should extend, should continue, just as this river continues. On Rosh Hashanah, the theme of the day is malchus. We anoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu as melech upon the world. That is the major theme of Rosh Hashanah. Malchios. We come to anoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a river that the water should flow. Now once we're doing that, we do things that are similar to Kiddush Levana. Because what is Kiddush Levana? It's Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. When you go to Kiddush Levana, it's the equivalent when the Levana renews itself. It's an inyan of receiving the Shechina. When we're going to be Malach Kadosh Baruch Hu at, and when you Kiddush Levana, what are you supposed to do? Check your tzitzis. How are you mekabel pnei Shechina when you do the commandments of the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Would he eat them also? The ultimate way to mekabel pnei Hashchina is to accept upon yourself the commandments of the king. Similarly, when you go to Tashlich, what we're doing is we're anointing, it's an extension of the tefillah, we are anointing a Kodesh Baruch Hu as melech over the entire world. We're being mekabel the malchus of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You shake out your talis katan, throw away your sins, and look at your tzitzis. Because the ultimate way you will anoint the Kodesh Baruch Hu as the melech over the entire world is by saying, u'ri'isem oso, u'zechartem es kol mitzvah sashem va'asisem oisam. Okay, so these are three other inyanim. Fish, their eyes never close, and they never sleep. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon. and all the different reasons that apply to eating fish Friday night apply equally to Tashlich, seeing fish at Tashlich. We have the idea of being Mamlech, anointing a Melech on a place of Mayim, of a water, a fountain, or a river, and therefore we do the same thing. We empty out our pockets, we throw away our sins, we look at our tzitzis to Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and then there's a halachic issue, which you'll see all these write-ups all over the place about what about feeding the fish? Why would you want to feed the fish? So some or another, the crumbs, the piruim, represent sins. So when you throw the crumbs into the water, you're throwing away your sins, and the fish consume it, so the fish completely consume and take away the fish. One other thing I forgot to tell you, see, all these things are coming back to my memory because you reminded me. Another reason why we go to Tashlich is a reminder of Yonah. That Yonah, since, and we discussed this yesterday, when is the ideal time to go to Tashlich? Our minig rub is to go on Rosh Hashanah. But some of the minig then know, really, you should go on Yom Kippur. And really, some do go on Yom Kippur. Problem is, you can't carry Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, you're very busy. It's a very long davening. It's not always practical, Yom Kippur. So the next best thing, according to many, the custom was to go right before Yom Kippur. When Erev Yom Kippur, you're too busy. You're eating, you're preparing. So to go on the eighth day, the day before Erev Yom Kippur, which is the day when we recite the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Why is it so important to go on Yom Kippur? Why would that be the ideal time? So we said yesterday, because Yom Kippur, according to many Midrashim, is the time of the Akedah. And since, according to the Ikar reason why we go to Tashlich is a Zecha for the Nes that happened when Avraham went to the Akedah, it's all the Hakdama, it's all part of the Akedah. Therefore, we go as close to Yom Kippur as we possibly can, because the Akedah took place in Yom Kippur. Others say, no, we go close as we possibly can to Yom Kippur, because we're going to the going Tashlich, we're going not for the Akedah, for the fish. What about the fish? The fish swallowed up Yonah, and the fish spit out Yonah, and Yonah was the one who taught us what tshuva, the koyach of tshuva. Nineveh, they did tshuva. Hashem listened to their tshuva. From them we learn. We want to be reminded about the story of Yonah and the dug all the nisim. And that the climax of Yonah is Yom Kippur. So go to the fish close to Yom Kippur as possible. Oh, you're going to the fish? Because the fish, it swallowed up Yonah and spit out Yonah. You got to reward the fish. You got to be good to them. Just like we're good to the birds. Shabbos Parsha Shira. We're very good. They're birds. They went. They ate up the man. Dosam ba'avim. They took away. They took out the man. And therefore, as a reward, we feed the birds. That's another whole shaila. Are you allowed to feed the birds? Are you not allowed to feed the birds? In a very similar method, we go to the fish as a zecha for the fish that spit out Yonah and allowed Yonah to return and protected Yonah and spit out Yonah and so on and so forth. So you want to be good to them. You want to feed them food. Are you allowed? You're not allowed to. This is a very difficult shaila. The pasha says it's not a good idea to feed the fish on a Tashlich, but some do. Could be that someone, the meaning of feeding the fish was because originally among many communities, the meaning was to go to Tashlich not on Rosh Hashanah, but to go to Tashlich during the Aser Yemei Teshuva on the eighth day of the Aser Yemei Teshuva. Or we said yesterday, the seventh day. So then when you're going to Tashlich, Adrabba, there's no problem with feeding fish. Kol HaKavod. You want to feed the fish, you want to reward them, reward them. And then in later times, things changed, and we started feeding the fish on. We started going on Rosh Hashanah, so then we started Minigav Asem B'Yodayim. We used to feed the fish last year, so let's feed the fish this year. But you don't remember, last year you fed the fish during the week. It was Chol, Aseres Yemei Teshuva. During that Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Now, for whatever reason, the Minig changed to go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. Oh, but on Rosh Hashanah you're not allowed to feed the fish. But you don't remember, you don't make that demand. So everything becomes corrupt, everything becomes a very big bilbul, and all of these different reasons, they come together to explain the Minig of Tashlich. Yeah?
I heard, I forget his name. I love it. So he said, the shayla also comes out Shabbos Shira.
Yeah.
Feed the birds.
Right.
So he gave us, I don't know the teretz, but he said that you could be matzik from some.
There are approaches that you are allowed to feed the birds.
Yes.
There are opinions that you can justify the minhag to feed the fish even on Rosh Hashanah. You want to reward them for spitting out Yonah and so on and so forth. So there is such a minhag. Okay, now I really want to discuss today very quickly is the minhag of raising your voice during the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. So where does this come from? So the truth is it comes from a Gemara. The Gemara, according to at least one opinion, the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, even Yechidim normally during the year we have Tefillah B'Lachash and the Shliach Tzibur, Chazaras Hashatz. The average person does not have Kavanah to fulfill his Shmon Eshrei with the Shliach Tzibur, because he says it himself. Everyone knows the Shmon Eshrei Baal Peh. Everyone knows the Shmon Eshrei Yafsudurim. You say the Shmon Eshrei yourself, and that's how you are Mekayim, the requirement to daven. Then when the Shliach Tzibur repeats the Shmon Eshrei, that's only for the people that do not know how to read, do not know the Nusach. They listen to his brachas, they answer Amen, they're Mekayim the mitzvah of Tefillah by listening to the Shliach Tzibur. The Gemara tells us in Sechta Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah, everyone, and this is in ancient times, not today, but in those times, everyone, even the Talmidei Chachamim, would fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillah, the Nusach HaTefillah, by listening to the Shliach Tzibur and not by reciting the brachos themselves. The difference between the whole year and Rosh Hashanah. The whole year you daven yourself and you're not yotze with the Shliach Tzibur, but in Rosh Hashanah you yotze with the Shliach Tzibur. What in the world is this little creature doing over here? Okay, went down. Spider came down from the ceiling. Okay. So the Gemara says it will be on my lap. Okay, so now the Gemara says, why? Why is that so? And here is the secret to this minhag of raising your voice. The Gemara says, why? Hikshah b'Gemara ma'ishno honey. Why are the tefillahs of the yamim l'ram different than the tefillahs of the year? And the Gemara says, Ela mishum de avshay. Because the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah are avshei. Now, many of us know this expression, avshei, from the laws of Shabbos. It's called avshei milsa. It makes noise. There are things that a goy is allowed to do for a Jew on Shabbos, but if what the goy does makes noise, if a goy vacuums, one of the classic examples, you're not allowed to allow a goy, even if he's not told, he's doing it on his own, take a vacuum cleaner and start vacuuming your house on Shabbos. Because when you vacuum, it makes a lot of noise. And then people who pass by, who are in the vicinity, they hear a goy vacuuming. It's a zilzal in the honor of Shabbos. Even though technically you're not doing anything wrong, you didn't tell him to do it. He's doing it on his own, for his own benefit. But a vacuum cleaner makes noise. And by extension, anything which is bepirsum, which is a public chil Shabbos, that's being done on behalf of a Jew, even though the Jew is not instructing the goy to do it, you have to tell the goy to stop. Because it's called avshei milsa. Avshei literally means to make a lot of noise. So according to some of the Mefarshim, that's when the Gemara says the reason why the Talmidei Chachamim would not be yotze the mitzvah of tefillah by reciting the brachos themselves, the Gemara answers, Mishum the Avshei. What does that mean? It's loud. On Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is telling us it was the custom, going back to the Gemara, for individuals to say the brachos, the tefillah, the Shmona Esrei, loud. To say it very loud. And when people are speaking loud, and you don't have a sitter, and everything is by memory, you get confused. If this guy is davening a Shmona Esrei, and I hear what he's saying in the background, I cannot concentrate on my Shmona Esrei. So you know what? The best thing is, I won't say Shmona Esrei. I will just listen to the Shliach Tzibur recite the Shmona Esrei, and I'll answer Amen. So we see from the Gemara indirectly that on Rosh Hashanah, there were definitely people that would recite a silent Shmona Esrei, but it wasn't silent. The time given for the Tzibur to say the Shmona Esrei on their own, people were reciting the words loud. And therefore, many people who are not 100% in the words or need the full concentration to remember the words would get confused because of the noise of the other people saying the Shmona Esrei loud. Therefore, they felt, you know what? Better I won't say the Shmona Esrei, because I'm not going to be able to go through the entire Nusach without making a mistake. I'll just listen to the Baki, to the Shliach Tzibur, who has been designated for this purpose. He will say the Shmona Esrei. I'll listen, and I'll answer Amen. So we learn from this Gemara, incidentally, that it was customary during the Yom HaRoim for the people who daven the silent Shmona Esrei to recite their Shmona Esrei loud. That's the minute. Why would they want to do this? What's the reason? Now you have to go a step further. All we have found here is a Gemara that indicates on Rosh Hashanah the individual would recite his private Shmona Esrei loud. Why would the individuals want to do this? So now we go into many reasons. Either because it's a very long Shmona Esrei, it's a very long bracha, and it's not It's not said the whole year. And in order for a person to remind himself, so sometimes it helps to say it out loud. If you say it silently, it's harder to recall from memory than if you were to say the bracha out loud. Another reason given is because for some people, saying a bracha out loud brings out more kavana. There's more kavanas, and Rosh Hashanah is a day when we need a lot of kavana. Therefore, it was accepted to say the brachos loud. Another reason given why we say the brachos loud is we have to first understand why generally we say the brachos quietly during the entire year. The Gemara says, "Hamashmiya kolah b'shas hatfila hareze miketanei amana." A person that says the brachos loud shows that he has a very small amount of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the reasons given is because he thinks, it appears to an observer, that this person thinks Hashem does not know his thoughts. Hashem only can hear like a human being, but Hashem cannot read his mind. So if he says the brachos quietly, Hashem's not listening. Hashem only sees him move his lips, but Hashem can't understand his thoughts. So when you speak loud, that shows that a person miketanei amana. We don't have this problem on Rosh Hashanah, because part of the nusach of Rosh Hashanah is that before you lifanecha niglu kol ta'alumos v'hamon nistaros v'ato yodea roze oylam v'salumos sishrei kol chai. We explicitly say in the nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei that you Hashem, you know all the secrets. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed does know all the secrets on he knows all the secrets, so we no longer have the problem of Hamashmiya Kole Hareza Miketani Amana. A person in Mela is allowed to raise his voice on Rosh Hashanah. The Halacha Lemaisa. Another reason why normally during the year we are quiet is because the Malachim are jealous of us. That we have the Koyach HaTfilah, a Koyach that they do not have. They only have a Koyach of singing Shira. They do not have a Koyach of Tfilah. They're jealous of us. And in order we should not provoke them to harm us, we say our Tfilahs quietly. But in the Yimei Hadin, the Malachim are silenced, especially on Yom Kippur. They have no reshus to be mekatreg, and therefore there no longer is a problem of kina. There's no problem of kina, so gezunda hate, we have no problem, we are allowed to raise our voice. One of the strong makaris, both pro and con, comes from Chana. Chana, according to our tradition, she was mispalo for her child, Shmuel, in the presence of Eli on Rosh Hashanah. It's the Haftarah of the first day Rosh Hashanah. It's the Haftarah. And what does Eli say to her? Chana, why are you quiet? He saw that she was moving her lips quietly. And in fact, now we learn that when a person davens, the proper thing is to say your tefillah quietly. But Eli said to her, why are you quiet? Today is Rosh Hashanah. And in Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to raise your voice. That's one approach. So we see even from the Ma'aseh of Chana in Echanam, she taught that you should daven quietly. That's what she taught during the entire year round. That was her Chiddush. But Eli objected that this should not have been done on Rosh Hashanah. You should be speaking loudly. So we have over here all of these different ideas. Halacha l'maaseh, what do we do? Halacha l'maaseh, we make a pshara. Because according to the original minhag, you're supposed to raise your voice. You know what that means? The real minhag is you recite the Shemoneh Esrei loud. Just like you recite Shema loud, and you recite Pesukei Dezimra loud as you can get. By the Hasidim, they scream. It's scary. If you ever gone to a Hasidish minhag, they really raise their voice. That was the original minhag. But again, there are many poskim that disagree, thoroughly reject this custom, especially the Mekubalim, the Zoyar, the Arizal, the Magen Avraham, says you should not raise your voice. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh as a pshara, the Mechaber says, a little bit. In order to preserve this custom, you're allowed to raise your voice during the silent Shemoneh Esrei a little bit more than you would ordinarily do during the year, but not too much. If you do too much, you're going to disturb someone, and even if you raise your voice a little bit, we're not afraid that small amount that you increase the volume will cause disturbance, because everyone has in front of them a machzor on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So there really is no issue. So halacha l'maaseh, we make this pshar, this balance between the original minhag of fully raising your voice, and the minhag of those who object that one should not. Another source why this came about is from Nusach Svart. The Svart, and we know, blow tekiels during the silent Rosh Hashanah, during the silent Shmon Esrei. So how do you get? So how do you know when to blow? How do you know? When does the Baal Tekiah know? Now is the time when everyone has finished the bracha of Zichron HaShofas. So it became the custom. People would say the bracha loud, and they would say it together. And that way, now you know everyone has finished. Everyone finished this section of the Shemona Esrei. Now the Baal Tekiah would blow. And that's only good for those who have the Nusach to Daven and the Chesvar. But it appears that also had some influence over why we do this. Another reason why we do this, so we raise the voice, another time given, is because the minhag was done to impress upon people they should not daven for themselves. You should daven for others. When a person davens for yourself, you daven quietly. It's like you're a beggar coming to ask for a piece of bread. But when you're coming to collect for someone else, I don't need your bread. I have bread. I'm coming to collect for the poor somewhere else. You're not embarrassed because it's not for me. Adrabah, I'm giving $1 million, so you also give $1 million. You also, there's no shame when you're coming to collect for someone else. On Rosh Hashanah, don't daven for yourself. You daven for others. You daven for your neighbors, your friend, your family. You daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, if you're raising your voice, it goes hand in hand. Raising your voice always means you're davening for other people. That's one very nice remez. And the remez, it says in the Pasuk, that's exactly what we do during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We're davening not for ourselves, we're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're davening in order to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world. And this really is found in the remez, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Hei Pasuk Gimel, Hakshiva L'kol Shav'oi. Listen to the voice of my cry. L'kol Shav'oi is an expression which means a loud sound. Malki Velokoi, my king and my God, ki elecha, to you espalo. Everyone, I think this is a very pretty famous pasuk from Tehillim. Well, whatever. Hakshiva l'kol shava, listen to the sound of my cry. Malki v'lokoi ki elecha espalo. So we're going to break up this pasuk into two parts. Hakshiva l'kol shavoi malki. When Hashem is melech, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, when we change Nusach from a Kel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh, our time of Malchus, then it's L'kol Shavoi, the voice of my cry, which has a connotation, a loud voice. But when the Elokai, when it's Kel, Baruch Atah Hashem, or Kel HaKadosh, Ki Elecha Espalo. So then I only pray. Espalol has a connotation in contrast to Shavoi, a quiet tefillah. Then, during the time of the year when it's only Kel, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu quietly. Okay, so I think we've gone through quite a number of different reasons over here of why we raise our voice, the minhag, different minhagim. Okay, so we'll stop here.